This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Good afternoon. Today we are looking at what God has for all men and women who will turn to Him. You see, God has a plan beyond anything that we have ever known. He has a plan for every individual life. And if we have any other plan in view, we miss the grandest plan of all. Nothing in the past is equal to the present, and nothing in the present can equal the things of tomorrow. And tomorrow should be so filled with holy expectation that we will be living flames for Him. And God never intended His people to be ordinary or commonplace. His intentions were that they should be on fire for Him, conscious of His divine power, realizing the glory of the cross that foreshadows a crown. And God has given us a very special book. It's called the Bible. And today we are looking at a story called Stephen, as well as a story of some of the Hellenists. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution of food. And then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among yourselves 7 men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And the same pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit, and Philip. We'll note here that Stephen was just doing a menial task, you might think. But, you know, God looks upon the heart, and the person that he had chosen had to be full of the Holy Spirit. The plan of the church was that everything, even everyday routines, must be sanctified to God, for the church had to be a Holy Spirit church. And God has never ordained anything less. So let us have a look at what Stephen was like. In Acts 6, verse 5, we read, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen as a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit and Philip." You see, there are others, but Stephen and Philip stand out most prominently in the scriptures. Philip was a man so filled with the Holy Spirit that a revival always followed wherever he went. Stephen was a man so filled with divine power that although serving tables might have been all right in the minds of other disciples, God had a greater vision for him. And God filled him with the baptism of fire, with a power and divine anointing that took him on the climax of his life, when he even saw the right into the open heavens. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. "Had we been there with the disciples at the time, I believe we would have heard them saying to each other, 'Look here, neither Stephen nor Philip are doing the work we called them to. If they do not attend to business, we will have to get someone else.' And that is a human way of thinking, but divine order is far above our finite planning. When we please God in our daily service, we will always find that everyone who is faithful in the little things, God will make ruler over much." That's in Matthew 25, verse 21. And Stephen is such an example to follow. He was a man chosen to serve tables, who had such a revelation of the mind of Jesus Christ and of the depth and height of God that there was no standing still in his experience, He went forward with leaps and bounds. Beloved, there is a race to be run, a crown to be won. We cannot stand still. I say to you, be vigilant. Let no one take your crown. Above the ordinary. Now, God has privileged us in Jesus Christ to live above the ordinary human plane of life. And those who want to be ordinary and live on a lower plane can do so. But as for me, writes Smith Wigglesworth, I will not. The same Holy Spirit power is at our command as it was at the command of Stephen and the apostles. We have the same God that Abraham and Elijah had, and we do not need to lag behind in receiving any gift of grace. We may not possess all the gifts as abiding gifts, but as we are full of the Holy Spirit and divine unction, it is possible when there is a need for God to make evident every gift of the Spirit through us as we may choose to use. I'll pause at this time and to tell you a story about Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was a man who, for an occupation, was a plumber. He and his wife used to go to the Salvation Army. His wife did the preaching, and Smith Wigglesworth took up the offering. But although Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber by trade, God had given him a special gift, a gift of healing. And one day he came home from working all day, and as he came through the front door, a friend of the wife's came to him and said to Smith Wigglesworth, your wife just died today. And his reply was simply, no, she hasn't. He went into the room, and there he found his wife on the bed. He picked her up in his hands and stood her up against the wall, and then he called her by name, and she walked to him. You see, Smith Wigglesworth had this extraordinary power, not of only healing people, but in his ministry, he found that as he spoke the word, that even people came back to life again. And as we grow to know God for ourselves, we too can, God longs to give us gifts which we can use for the benefit of others. And so Smith Wigglesworth was such a man, and of course we know a little bit about his ministry. He went round the world, and when he came to New Zealand, thousands not only flocked to hear him, but many thousands too became Christians. You see, I'm not surprised that this man, Stephen, was chosen to serve tables, and he was also afterwards called to a higher plane. Yes, the life of Stephen was a life that was lived out before God, and in all purity and in all power. Stephen spoke with remarkable wisdom, and things began to happen. You will always find that there is always a moving when the Holy Spirit has control. Brought under conviction by the message of Stephen, his opponents resisted. They lied. They did anything and everything to stifle that conviction. Not only did they lie, but they got others to lie against Stephen, who would have laid down his life for any one of them. And Stephen was used by God to heal the sick, perform miracles, and yet they brought false accusations against him. This is found in Acts 6, verses 13 to 14. What effect did those false charges have on Stephen? And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as a face of an angel. What had happened? These men and women falsely accused Stephen, so he was brought before the council, and they couldn't really resist what they had heard, and as they sat there to accuse him, they saw something different about that man. You see, something had happened in the life of this man, chosen for menial service. He became mighty for God. How was it accomplished in him? It was because his aim was high. Stephen was faithful in little, and God brought him to full fruition. Under the inspiration of divine power by which he spoke, the council could not help but listen to his holy prophetic words. Beginning with Abraham and Moses, Stephen continued unfolding the truth with a marvelous exhortation. Take your Bible and read it. Listen in as the angels listen in, as light upon light, truth upon truth, revelation upon revelation found its way into their hearts. They gazed at him in astonishment. Their hearts perhaps became warm at times, and they may have said, truly this man is sent by God. But then he hurled the truth at him. Stephen went on and he said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels, but have not kept it. Then what happened? These men were moved. They were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. There are two occasions in the scriptures where people were cut to the heart. After Peter had delivered that inspired sermon on the day of Pentecost, the people were cut to the heart, Acts chapter 2, verse 37, and they were cut to the heart with conviction. And there were added to the church that day 3,000 souls. And here is Stephen speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the men of this council who were being cut to the heart rose up as one man to slay him. As you read Acts 7, beginning with verses 55, what a picture you have before you. And as I close my eyes, I have a vision of this scene in every detail. The howling mob with their vengeful, murderous spirits, ready to devour this holy man. And he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. What did he see there? From his place of helplessness, he looked up and he said, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Is that the position that Jesus left earth to take? No, he went to sit at the right hand of the Father, Hebrews 12, verse 2. But in support of the first martyr, on behalf of the man with that burning flame of the Holy Spirit's power, God's Son stood up in honorary testimony, as it were, of him who was called to serve tables but was faithful unto death. But is that all? No, I am so glad that it is not, writes Smith Wigglesworth. As the stones came flying at Stephen, pounding his body, crushing his bones, striking his temple, and as well as his beautiful face, what happened? How did this scene end? With a sublime upward look, this man, chosen for an ordinary task, but filled with the Holy Spirit, was so moved upon by God that he finished his earthly work in a blaze of glory, magnifying God with his last breath. Looking up into the face of the Master, he said, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Acts 7, verse 60. You see, it is worth everything to gain the Holy Spirit. What a divine ending to the life and testimony of a man who was chosen to serve tables. The highest purpose God has for us is that we will be transformed into the image of his Son. We have seen in part God's purpose in filling us with the Spirit of God, that is, the Holy Spirit, that he might conform us to the image of his Son. And Paul wrote, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestinated, these he called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." And that's from Romans 8, verse 29 to 30. So where are you standing? I believe there are two kinds of people, the whosoever will and the whosoever won't. I want you to examine yourselves to see where you stand. If you stand on these truths that God has given, you will be amazed to see how God will make everything happen so that you will be conformed to the image of his Son. It is a sad thing today to see how people are astonished at the workings of God. Millions of years ago, he purposed in his heart to do this mighty thing in us. Are you going to refuse it, or are you going to yield to the Lord? I thank God he planned ahead for me to be saved, wrote Smith Wigglesworth. Some will receive Christ, but others will not believe in him for salvation. You see, it is a mystery, but God purposed it before the foundation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. And if you yield, he will put in you a living faith, and you cannot get away from the power of it. So, brothers and sisters, let us come a little nearer. How amazing is that we can be transformed so that the thoughts of Jesus Christ will be first in our minds. How blessed that when everyone around you is interested in everything else, you are thinking about Jesus Christ. So what is your response? You see, it is the purpose of God that you should rise into the place of sonship with God. Don't miss the purpose God has in his heart for you. Realize that God wants to make of you the first fruits, James chapter 1, verse 18, and separate you unto himself. God has lifted some of you up again and again. It is amazing how God in his mercy has restored and restored whom he called. These he also justified, and whom he justified, those he also glorified. Romans 8, verse 30. The glorification is still going on and is going to exceed what it is now. And within your heart, there surely must be a response to his call. It does not matter who is against us. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If there are millions against you, God has purposed it and will bring you right through to glory. Human wisdom has to stand still. It is with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Romans 10, verse 10. Brothers and sisters, writes Smith Wigglesworth, what do you want? That is a question. What have you come here for? We have seen God work in horribly diseased bodies. Our God is able to heal and to meet all of our needs. And the scripture says, he who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you need to be healed of a critical spirit? The scripture warns, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? You too can be healed from a critical spirit. I tell you, it is a bad business for the man who harms God's anointed. Who is he who condemns? How much of that there is today? Brother condemning brother, everybody condemning one another. You also go about condemning yourself. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. We find that in Revelation 12:10. But There is power in the blood to free us, to keep us, and to bring us healing. Do not let the enemy cripple you and bind you. Why don't you believe God's word? There is a blessed place for you in the Holy Spirit. Instead of condemning you, Christ is interceding for you, and you can rest on this promise. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, or any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 to 39. You see, you can be in a wonderful place, because God has called and chosen you. He wants you to know that you have power with him. And because you are sons and joint heirs, you have a right to healing for your bodies and to be delivered from all the power of the enemy. May the Lord bless you as you think on these things and also begin to see them worked out within your own life. There may be people listening to me today who have never, ever received Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour and Lord. You may be wondering how you can do this, and better still, you could be taking the other step and saying you want to do it and asking the question, how can I do it? Well, I would like to lead you in a prayer today. If you will listen, and if you will also repeat this prayer after me and mean it, you too can be part of the kingdom of God by inviting Christ into your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me and took the punishment for all the wrong things that I have done. Please forgive me, Lord, and cleanse me by the blood of Jesus Christ. I also ask you, Lord, to come into my life and forgive me, Lord, for every sin. Thank you for giving me eternal life, life which goes on forever. And thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. If you prayed their prayer today, you too, you can know that Jesus Christ has come into your heart and into your life, and you are what the Bible says. You are born again. This is Murray Yates signing off for this week.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than a houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be